More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, happy camper! Are stress and conflict complicating your life? We're going to help you find contentment and strength even in the middle of the stress. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, happy camper! We're talking about stress and conflict and how they tend to steal our peace. More importantly, how can we get back to that place of contentment and strength that allows us to be that, well, happy camper, even in the middle of stress and conflict? 877-573-7825.
That cracks me up. The title cracks me up because it's just such a misnomer. One of our kids is actually a counselor, not a therapist, counselor.
But a camp counselor.
This summer at a summer camp. And it's a day camp, and every day there are new meltdowns for her to handle. Like, basically, the camp counselors call her in if there's a child just, like, kind of, you know, falling apart and needs somebody to really help them through it. So this idea of happy camper is, you know, kind of a misnomer. But the problem, you know, or I should say the insight, is we all go through stress. We all have things in our life that are stressful for us and can steal our peace and our joy. So we're asking you today, what stressful situations or relationship conflicts are stealing your peace? Is there a particular problem you're facing that you're not sure what to do about, and you just can't get it off your mind? Is conflict coming between you or someone you care about, and you're not sure how to handle the rift? You just feel overwhelmed, anxious, or stressed out because of all the stuff going on in your life or in the world. The good news? As Christians, we don't have to let stress and conflict steal our peace. Let us help you stay centered, calm, and confident in the face of stress and conflict. Today on More to Life, give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And, you know, the title of the show is a little tongue-in-cheek, Happy Camper. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because I think that a lot of us get the impression that as Christians, the goal is to somehow remain blissed out even while we're going through conflict and stressful situations, that somehow we should be able to achieve this kind of state of just, I don't know, otherness. That's not at all what God calls us to. He gave us our feelings, and they're a very real part of our experience. But there's a way to relate to our feelings that allows us to respond to them rather than react to them. We'll talk more about that distinction in a minute in our Theology of the Body reflection. But you know, this is a lifelong goal. I mean, it's something that we all need to strive toward and work toward. But I'll tell you, I mean, it's incredibly freeing. And I have to, you know, I'll just kind of talk about my own experience. I mean, you know, years ago, I mean, even when we were first married, I would be more reactive to situations. If I felt powerless or I was surprised by something, you know, when I was just learning to adult. not that I've learned anything about it.
Learning to adult, but all the pressure of, you know, being a good Catholic husband for like the 3 seconds you were.
Something would upset me and I would kind of react to it. I would never, you know, be abusive in any way.
But
I would slam doors or cabinets and stomp around and, you know, all the... And I've really worked over the years to get a handle on that. Not just because it's not pleasant to be around, although there's that. But more importantly for me, it's helped me adopt a much more thoughtful relationship to the stressful things that we face or that we go through. And even if you and I are arguing about something, you know, I try to take that same kind of approach where. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not reacting to what you're saying or my feelings, but I'm really trying to think through how do I want to stay in this sort of calmer place and so I can think through this with you and get to where we want to go as opposed to just reacting off of things. And it makes a huge difference in how I feel. I don't feel powerless. I don't feel stuck. I don't feel as frustrated. I you know, it's not pleasant to go through conflict or stress, but I can think through it and say, this is where I want to be. And so I have a sense of contentment even through it.
And I think one of the wonderful things about this very Catholic practice is that you don't have to be perfect at it immediately, right? There are stressors that can come, and if we don't react in a perfect place of receptivity the second they hit, we can choose to at any point in mm-hmm. the path.
Yeah.
And so it's practice, it's the baby steps, it's like anything else, right? You don't become an Olympic athlete overnight. You have to practice those skills for mm-hmm. a lifetime and get better and better. And as we know in our present day, for the analogy of being an Olympic athlete, it's often, you know, a hundredth of a second that makes somebody better than the person next to them, or they were the last time they ran that race or did that swim. And it really allows us to see how incremental that getting better, perfecting ourselves, even in Christ's grace, can be taken in little baby steps each moment along the way. We can learn the idea of receptivity over reactivity.
Well, and that's exactly what we wanted to talk about now in our Theology of the Body reflection. You know, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And, you know, if you're wondering, well, how can theology possibly help me manage stress more effectively, you've come to the right place. Because, so St. John Paul, when he was Pope, he asked a really important and, I think, relevant question. He wanted to know, what does it look like for a Catholic person to thrive? What does it look like for Catholics to enjoy truly healthy, holy relationships and live an abundant life? And his answer to that question became what people now refer to as the Theology of the Body.
And one of the most powerful lessons from the Theology of the Body is that we are made to be receptive rather than reactive, as we were leading into. The reason that stress and conflict is so darn stressful is that they tempt us into a reactive rather than a receptive mindset. The more we tend to just react to our circumstances, the less peace we have, because we're always waiting to see what happens before we can even begin to make any kind of plan.
So, on the other hand, receptivity is a state of mind that allows us to stop thinking, how can I avoid this problem? And start thinking, how can I use this problem to get where I'm going? That's a very different mindset, right? It's one thing to say, you know, oh, well, I wish this problem would go away. It's another thing to put all our energy into avoiding it rather than saying, how can I use this to get where I'm going? So receptivity makes us open to the grace and truth that God's giving us in the moment to turn, if you will, crises into opportunities. It's the ability to stop, to breathe, and to pray, Lord, show me how to respond to this, so that I can glorify you, be my best self, encourage the people around me to do the same thing. So receptivity helps us keep our peace in the presence of problems by reminding us of who we really are, sons and daughters of God who are confirmed not in a spirit of fear, but strength, power, and self-control.
So receptivity allows us to stop simply reacting to the pain in the moment. Instead, we can use the moment to see how God is calling us to grow. In a sense, receptivity is the soil in which real solutions grow, because it lets us see what's possible instead of what's wrong.
I really like that distinction, you know, that receptivity allows us to see what's possible instead of what's wrong. So, you know, the next time stress or conflict start to steal your peace, remember to stop and pray. Lord, show me how to use this problem to be who you want me to be, achieve what you want me to accomplish, and get where you want me to go. Because when we can make that our prayer, stressful situations really just become opportunities for God to be glorified, even when we're feeling overwhelmed. So let's talk about it. Are you going through a stressful situation in your life or a relationship conflict that's stealing your peace? We want to help you find the answers to both resolving the problem, but also staying your best self as you go through it. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
And I think that we have to realize we can do this in any situation. We can do this in conflict. We can do this in our daily lives when we're stretching ourselves a little bit. And it's a different, it's a very Christian way of perfection. Rather than, I will feel good about myself when I've done this job perfectly, when I've had this perfect day with my children and everybody's behaving just as I want them to, when I have that perfect schedule and I've gotten all my things done that will give me that perfect day. This is about a responsiveness, a receptivity that allows us to focus on what are the virtues I need to have in this situation. How can I live them out in a way that's loving to myself, to others, and gives glory to God? It's a different mindset, but it's also extremely practical. So we're asking today, are you stressed out in a particular situation? Is a relationship conflict getting to you, stealing your peace? Is there a problem you're facing that you're not sure what to do? Is conflict coming between you and someone else you care about? We are here for you today. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we bring to you the challenges that we're facing in our life and the conflicts that we're experiencing in our relationships, and we're asking you to help us to resolve those things, but more so to help us to respond to those things in ways that allow us to see what's possible instead of just what's wrong. Help us to practice the receptivity your servant St. John Paul reminded us is the source of our connection to you and our ability to cooperate most effectively with your grace, so that even in those stressful situations and challenging conflicts with the people we care about, we can be praying, Lord, help us to respond to those things in ways that get us to where you want us to go. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Happy Camper, as we talk about managing stress and conflict gracefully. If there's a stressful situation in your life or relationship conflict that's occupying your mind and you're not sure what to do, give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Well, let's start today with a question from Katie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Indiana. She says, I have 3 boys, 10, 7, and 5, and they're all boy. This summer has been tough. By dinner time most days, I feel like I've been in a war, and I hear myself yelling in a voice I swore I would never use. Then they go to bed, and I just sit there feeling like a failure, like everybody else has figured this out except me. In my head, I know that's not true, but that's how it feels. I really do love my kids more than anything, but the constant noise and chaos gets me so wound up I can't think straight. How do I stop reacting to every little thing and actually be the calm mom my kids need me to be? And that's from Katie in Indiana.
Katie, thank you so much for the question. And I know that there are a lot of parents who are in this, you know, kind of place, especially over the summertime when schedules are off. And, you know, I know you're probably thinking, oh, just a couple weeks and it'll get a little bit quieter. But I want to address sort of an underlying assumption that I think is getting you into trouble, and then I'll make a practical suggestion or two on how to move forward. So, you know, everybody knows what you mean when you say that your boys are all boy, right? I mean, everybody. And that's, so that's a meaningful phrase in that sense. It conveys what you're trying to say.
Probably a lot of, like, large motor energy all day long.
But I want to address the assumption that I often hear behind that, and sort of the when people say, well, my boys are all boy, the end of that sentence is, and there's nothing I can do about it, right?
Yes.
That's just the way they are. And, you know, I'm not suggesting that somehow, you know, young men shouldn't be active or, you know, goal-oriented or, you know, any of those kinds of things. That, you know, I'm not saying that being all boy is a bad thing. But what I am saying, a big part of being a godly man is self-control, right? And patience and temperance and prudence and all those things that we have to learn to be good men.
I was going to say, those are very learned skills. So just because they didn't, you know, come into the world with those virtues and skills doesn't mean they can't learn them and doesn't mean that it's not the parents' job to help form them.
Yeah. So, you know, it's fine to, you know, acknowledge their boyness, but it's also important to kind of teach them how to channel that in ways that actually serve the people around them, including you. All right. So don't just assume that this is the way it has to be. Right. So which leads to the second thing is if it could be how you wanted it to be. If it could be more peaceful, if it could be more orderly, I'm not, you know, maybe you create some time for that unstructured, crazy play, because that's a good thing to have.
And have it in a place where it doesn't drive you insane.
But there are other times where you have quiet activities, or you have some kind of reading time together, or you have, you know, but you create a schedule where it's not just bedlam and chaos because they should just be boys, but where you're creating a structure that gives you a sense of peace and order in your day. And gives them the opportunities they need to learn to regulate some of those more extreme behaviors, and that you're really kind of taking charge of it. I want to encourage you and just really build you up to let you know that you can, you have the right to create a structure for your day.
Absolutely. Structure helps so much. You're teaching those virtues. The second part of that is the working on those virtues yourself little by little, these very tiny steps that we were talking about earlier. When you have kids who are doing a lot of large motor things, there are going to be things throughout the day. Somebody's going to fall and get hurt. Somebody's going to fight with somebody else. There are going to be those moments that can't be so structured. So in those moments, you have to say, all right, this is just temporary. I'm going to handle this. I'm going to clean up the blood. I'm going to comfort the child. I'm going to help them settle the argument. But then we can move on with that scheduled day that Greg is talking about. Not in lockstep military style, but okay, we had this moment. Now the next thing on our list for the day was reading time or puzzle time or whatever that is, getting ready for dinner time. And I'm going to move everybody on to that. So that allows you to have those touchstones throughout your day to come back to that allow all of you to tap into that more virtuous behavior.
Katie, I want to thank you for the question. I wish we had more time to offer more tips, but I can turn you on to our resource, Catholic Home. That's Catholic H-O-M. You can get it wherever you get your apps. And we provide daily parent coaching to all of our subscribers, Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors. Plus, there's tons of creative resources to help you build a more dynamic, loving, caring, and connected domestic church life. Check it out, Catholic H-O-M, wherever you get your apps. We'd be happy to continue walking with you through this so that you can, you know, get the support you need to create this structure we're talking about and get more peace of mind and a more peaceful home. All right, with that, we're taking your calls, 877-573-7825. The show today titled Happy Camper, as we talk about how to manage stress and conflict gracefully. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your questions, we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac. She is a Catholic mental performance coach and pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She specializes in the psychology of success and directs our faith-based program in performance excellence. She's going to be talking about how she helps her clients maintain their cool, even under pressure. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threats to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. Beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
Are you struggling with a persistent emotional or relationship problem? Maybe those thoughts and feelings won't leave you alone, or your marriage has grown distant, or a wound from your past still aches. Too many of us tell us that we should be able to handle it alone, or that good Catholics shouldn't need help. That's not true. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. My team of pastoral counselors will help you find solutions rooted in solid psychology and our Catholic faith, so you don't have to choose between getting real help and staying true to what you believe. Visit CatholicCounselors.com and discover how we can help your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Happy Camper, as we talk about managing stress and conflict gracefully. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She's a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She's also a Catholic mental performance coach, and she directs our faith-based program in performance excellence, where she works with people who want to be their best under pressure. Hey, Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you for having me.
So I think today's show is especially designed for you. You know, you work with a lot of people who want to be their best under high-pressure situations. When someone's coming to you and saying, you know, how do I manage the stress or this conflict more effectively, where do you suggest that they start?
I think that, you know, when we're dealing with stress, one of the biggest things that can either come from or causes that stress is the uncertainty that we have about the situation. And that uncertainty just causes us to close in on ourselves, and we stop asking questions or exploring possibilities. And sometimes we even stop taking action altogether. And we do that because the reactionary part of our brain is trying to protect us by pulling us away from anything uncertain. But the problem is that while withdrawing often feels safe in the moment, it also leaves us feeling really trapped. And the more we close ourselves off, the smaller our world becomes, and the less we can use the gifts and strengths that God's given us to help us be effective and navigate the situation. One of the most effective ways that we can interrupt that cycle is to become curious, because curiosity is the opposite of fear's instinct to shut down. When we're curious, we naturally lean in instead of pulling away. We begin looking for information instead of just assuming the worst case scenario. And we also become open to possibilities instead of just convincing ourselves of the catastrophe that could happen. Psychologically, curiosity shifts our brain out of a threat-focused state and into a learning state. So instead of asking, what if this goes wrong, we can start asking questions like, what can I learn here? What possibilities am I not seeing? What's one small step that I can take? How could I be effective in this situation? Right? Just all of those questions that don't necessarily remove the uncertainty, but they do change our relationship with it. And throughout Scripture, God rarely gives people the entire roadmap, right? He invites them to take that next faithful step. I often think about the example, Peter didn't know what would happen when he stepped out off of the boat, right? The disciples didn't know it was ahead of them after the resurrection. Faith has always involved moving forward without having every answer, and curiosity helps us do that. It reminds us that uncertainty doesn't have to mean danger. Sometimes uncertainty is simply just that place where God's inviting us to grow. So the next time you're feeling yourself shutting down because you don't know what's coming next, we don't want to let fear ask all the questions. Instead, we can become curious and ask ourselves, what is God trying to teach me through this? What strengths has he already given me that I haven't recognized yet? And what is one faithful step that I can take today? Because that peace and that confidence isn't about having every single answer. It's about trusting that with God's grace, we can take that next step even before we know where that whole path leads yet.
I think this is so important, and those next steps don't have to be huge, do they? Like, I'm thinking, you know, you're talking about Peter stepping off the boat, but simpler things where Jesus was just like, try tossing the net on the other side.
Yeah.
And both to the disciples and to all of us reading it, that seems ridiculous. Even when we know what's going to happen, those nets are going to be filled to overflowing. We're like, really? Like, this is what he wanted them to do? But I, you know, as always, that scripture was meant for all of us, and it teaches us even the tiny things, just switching to the other side of the boat, can just open us up to a world of faith experience, new capabilities, new relationship. It's truly amazing if we can just get ourselves to take that one small step in curiosity, what God can do with it, isn't it?
You're absolutely right, and I think that's a really wonderful example, because there are so many situations, I guess, or even opportunities that we have, and we kind of talk ourselves out of them because it's like, oh no, that's silly, or that couldn't really work, or like you said, it's too small to make a difference. But just giving ourselves and God the chance and leaning into that curiosity, because that's where God works.
Yeah, it all starts with asking that question, you know, God, what is it that you want to make of this, as opposed to, God, how can I avoid this? 877-573-7825, give us a call. Let's talk about how to help you manage stress and conflict gracefully and find that contentment, even in the middle of the stress. Talk about more of it when we come back from the break. Stick around.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, "I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible." The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
We were made for spiritual greatness. The divine image is in every person, however dimly seen in some. God gave man a spiritual and immortal soul. From the first moment in the womb, he or she is destined for eternal life with God. Man, by his reasoning, is capable of understanding the order the Creator has established. By our will, we are capable of aligning ourselves with our true good, which is where we find our perfection. Reason provides recognition of God's voice directing us toward good and avoiding evil. The law of God is made known by our conscience and is fulfilled by the love of God and love of neighbor. Because our first parents sinned, we suffer the wound of original sin. Thus, while we still desire good, we are inclined toward evil and subject to error. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Do you ever feel like you're giving and giving in your relationships, but nobody's giving back? Like you've become so focused on keeping everyone else happy that you've lost track of who you are and what you need? In my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, I share how a common cause of anxiety is when we become the person who attends to others' needs in a way that never lets us meet or even acknowledge our own. The anxiety that comes with that is actually the Holy Spirit speaking through our bodies saying, "You matter to me. Stop willing yourself out of existence to earn other people's love." The thing is, people-pleasing isn't generosity. It's fear wearing a generous mask. St. John Paul said that real Christian love is characterized by mutual self-giving, where everyone in the relationship gives everything they can to show up for each other so that each person can be fully generous without anyone burning out. That's what Trinitarian love looks like, and living out that love in our relationships is part of what it means to be made in the image and likeness of God. To learn more about how to celebrate the kind of authentic Christian love in all of your relationships and enjoy the peace that comes along with it, check out Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Happy Camper. We talk about maintaining our sense of peace and calm, even in the middle of stress and conflict. 877-573-7825.
Before we take our next caller, we just want to let you know that another EWTN radio affiliate is celebrating an anniversary. KYEJ and KYRYX, serving Fairmont, Minnesota, in English and Spanish, is on the air for 11 years.
I want to say those call letters again, because there's an extra one in there. Oh, KRYX.
Thank you.
And we want to send congratulations to Steve Landsteiner and everyone at Fairmont Area Catholic Radio from all of us here at EWTN. Thank you so much for your service to the church and all the ways that you bless your community. And wherever you're listening to EWTN Catholic Radio, make sure that you are supporting your local EWTN radio station with your prayers and with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN going strong so we can keep supporting you and your loved ones in living a more faithful and abundant life. And again, congratulations to Steve Landsteiner and everyone at Fairmont Area Catholic Radio for your many years of service and our friendship.
Amen. Right,
with that, we're taking your calls. Listeners at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Ingrid, who's listening to EWTN Radio in St. Lucia in the Caribbean.
Ingrid, welcome to the show. How can we help you out today?
Hi. I was calling to find out, how do you deal one deals with the situation where when you feel that you're constantly undermined by every decision that you make, and then there are times that it really gets to me.
Who's undermining you, Ingrid? Sorry to interrupt, but who's undermining you?
Work colleague.
Okay. A work colleague. Okay.
So this is at work, okay.
Yes, that's happening at work. And so there are times that it really gets to the head where I really lash out really negatively, and I'm really trying not to because I know what I'm called to do, and it's a conflict for me, and it's very stressful.
Yeah, so can you give me an example of a situation where this would come up? Just want to understand the context a little bit better.
Okay, there'd be a time that, for instance, if I'm responsible for a particular project, I'm calling as a team lead for that project, and then I'll make a decision to bring in an external provider to assist with running that project, and this colleague will come in and blatantly state that external provider cannot do the job. They don't know what they're doing. So the decision that I have made to bring in an external provider is directly undermined, even if I have brought in all, I've stated why, and I have clearly stated.
And just to
why
be clear, when you say just to be clear, when you say that you're being directly undermined, you mean so. Does your boss then overrule you and say you can't do that because of their input?
No, it's my colleague. We work together, and because we work very closely together, so there are times that I would be on a project that person works together with me on that project. But because
yes,
I'm running one aspect of it, even if the person has no jurisdiction over it.
But is it your decision to make? Is what I'm asking.
Your equals, and it's
to make.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think that you know, I understand their frustration, but it's your decision to make, right? And she's allowed to have her opinion, right? I mean, so That's why I was asking if she was undermining you. Because when you say that somebody's undermining you, what that means is that somebody else has to make the decision, and somehow she is getting in the way of that happening, right? So in other words, if she was undermining you, then you would be appealing to your boss, for instance. Hey, I would like to do this. And then she comes in and says, no, we can't do that because X, Y, and Z. And then the boss, decides to go in her favor. But what you're really saying is the two of you are working on a project together. There are certain things that you are responsible for that are your decision to make. But then she voices her opinion on why she thinks that that's a bad idea. At the end of the day, it's okay for you to say, if you have the authority to do it, to say, well, I appreciate your opinion. Thank you for those thoughts. I'm going to go with this anyway. And that's your call, right? So we can't make other people see it our way. We can listen respectfully and take their advice under consideration. But if it's your decision to make, then ultimately you don't have to convince her that you're right. You just have to say, well, this is what I'm going to do. Because I heard what you said, and I appreciate your input, but this is why I think of this, and this is what we're going to do. And she doesn't have to like it, because you're in charge of that part of the project. We get into trouble, and we get angry because we feel like I'm not allowed to make a decision unless I can make everybody happy around me. And that's really a false thought. We have the right to exercise the authority that's been given to us in a manner that's compassionate to others, but doesn't necessarily always make everybody happy. We're doing our best to make the best call in the area of the authority that we've been given. And so she's certainly allowed to voice that opinion, and I understand that can be frustrating, especially if she doesn't want to go along with it. But at the end of the day, you just have to stand on the right that you've been given to say, yeah, this is my call, and I hear what you're saying, but this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, and I really appreciate, that on the board, it's saying that you don't want to blow up at this person. Once you understand the authority you have to make the final decision, you can move into that space that Rachel Isaac was talking about of curiosity. So you can say to her in a meeting, not in a hot moment, tell me about why you think your way is better, like that this would work. I want to hear what you really have to say. Take it in. If you still believe that your way is more efficient, better for the business, will work better for everybody else, then you can say to her, I really appreciate that, but for this reason, X, Y, and Z, we're going to do it this way.
And if she doesn't accept that, which is, I think, what you're saying is the problem, you could just use a broken record technique where you say, no, I heard what you said. Thank you. And she says, but what about this? No, I heard what you said. Thank you. This is what we're doing. And you just hold that line. It's not your job to convince her or continue the argument. It's your job to listen and to try to incorporate whatever concerns she has. But then since it's your authority to make that decision, you just make the decision. And when she complains about it, it's like, yeah, no, I heard what you said, and I appreciate your input, but this is what I decided to do. And make it a non-issue. Because the more you believe that you can't exercise your authority until you make her happy, the more frustrated you'll become and the more angry you get, because that's a no-win game. Because there are some people, and I suspect she might be one of these folks, who knows that other people, like yourself, don't feel right exercising their authority unless they can make everybody else around them happy. So the answer to that is I'm never happy. If I can just keep myself from being happy, then you're not allowed to do what you want to do. Right? And then you just ultimately give in because you don't want me to be unhappy with you. And I know that. So I use that as power.
She'll wear you down.
Yeah.
So just keep going and wear you down. And for you being worn down, you recognize that you're allowing yourself to lose your power and your sense of control in the situation. And that's why you feel like you need to blow up to change the situation, almost so that you can wear her down to get her compliance. But the more you can just use that broken record technique and say, I really heard your input and I appreciate it, but this is the way we're doing it. Over and over again.
Then she realizes there's really no fight to be had. Right? So that's where you need to go with this, Ingrid. And I want people to agree with me too, right? But at some point, you just have to recognize that, this is the authority I've been given. I'm exercising it the best way I know how, and everybody else is just going to have to deal with that. Thank you for the question, Ingrid. I will say, by the way, the advice that we were just giving to Ingrid applies to parents, too.
I was going to say, this works with children.
This comes up a lot on Catholic Home, on the Catholic Home app, where parents will say, my four-year-old doesn't want to X, and I've tried to explain it, and I've tried to be gentle, and I've tried to coach them through it. And those are all really good things to do, right? But children also learn that sometimes if I just refuse to get it, quote unquote, then mom and dad will just give up eventually. And if that's the dynamic we create, then we end up becoming more and more frustrated as parents and thinking our children are willful, when in fact we just need to give ourselves permission to move them on to the thing. You know, the kid won't get in the tub, you pick him up and you put him in the tub. You know, right. it's not oh honey, you know, well tell me why you don't want to get in the tub. You know, we're OG.
I understand you don't want to get in the tub, but it's time for your bath, and you move them in, or whatever that
situation
is.
And we're OG gentle parents, so, you know, I mean, we're not opposed to that whole idea, but there comes a point where you're negotiating with a terrorist.
Well, and it's the same thing that Ingrid is talking about here, although she's talking about a full-grown adult. Hear them out. Hear their reasoning in a chunk of time, not forever and ever. Acknowledge what they're saying. But if there is something valuable in it, you take that into the plan. Great. Win-win. But if you know what you're choosing to do is better for your company, in Greg's example on Catholic Home, better for your family, better for you, that's when you just say, thank you, I really appreciate your input, but this is the way we're going to be doing it, and you move on.
All right. We have to go to break, but we're continuing to take your calls at 877-573-7825. Today's show titled Happy Camper. A little tongue-in-cheek look at the question of how do I stay calm and collected when I'm dealing with stress and conflict. 877-573-7825. And as we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day, which I will be honest is not one I had heard before, and I was sort of surprised by when I found it before the show. And it's, I mean, it couldn't be a more perfect verse for today's program.
But I actually asked you, I'm like, can you check a couple of verses, like, make sure this is the Catholic translation? And it is.
Yeah, straight from the USCCB website.
It is. By waiting and being calm, you will be saved. Quietness and trust will be your strength.
And in this passage from Isaiah, God is talking to the nation of Israel, saying, you know, instead of running around trying to fix everything yourself, you know, be calm and wait on me. And that's really the message of today's show. This is the very definition of receptivity that St. John Paul talked about in his Theology of the Body, the idea that instead of running around trying to fix everything or make everybody happy or come up with the way to avoid the problem, just take a breath, right? And create that space where you can think through the situation and not just think about how do I avoid this problem, but if I have to face this problem, how could I use it for good? Which is exactly what Jesus did, right? I mean, Jesus asked the Father to take away the cross if he could, but if he had to go through it, he faced it in a way that yielded incredible fruit. And that is what God is asking us to do. That same kind of place where we can step back from the stress and the conflict for a minute and say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to make of this? How do you want me to use this problem to be a better version of myself, to challenge the people around me to be better, to glorify you by using it to build your kingdom in some way? Something to think about. Isaiah 30:15, by waiting and being calm, you will be saved. Quietness and trust will be your strength. And we're taking your calls when More to Life continues. 877-573-7825. Are stress and conflict complicating your life? We want to help you find ways to stay content and strong, even in the middle of the stress. More to Life will continue with your calls after this.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
He was a pope, a saint, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
Pope St. Gregory I the Great is one of only four popes honored as the Great. Among his many achievements was sending missionaries across Northern Europe, especially St. Augustine of Canterbury, who brought Christ to the people of England. In a pun, Pope Gregory called the English people angels. He died in 604.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Happy Camper as we talk about how to maintain our cool in the face of stress and conflict. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Michael, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ontario.
Michael, welcome to the show. How can we help you out?
Hi. I'm a newly retired person, and I'm finding it difficult to fill my free time with activity. And I find I'm spending most of my day just sitting on the couch, listening to the radio, or even saying the rosary.
Hmm. So Michael, what are your feelings about this? Because, first of all, how long have you been retired when you say newly retired?
I've been retired 3 years now.
Okay. And so are you starting to say to yourself, I would like to explore other things. I would like to change this. I don't find just sitting on the couch all day to be particularly fulfilling. Or is there just a guilt, like, resting on your shoulder saying, I should have a list of things I do all day to prove that, you know, I'm a productive human? Where are you at with this?
Geez, you know, I'm sort of in the middle right now. I don't mind what I'm doing, but at times I do.
And so when you say that you're kind of stuck and not sure what to do, is it more the question of, you know, you don't know what you like, or you don't know what to do, or is it that you can't motivate yourself to do anything?
I don't know what I like.
Okay.
All right. So I would, and so part of that then is obviously learning that. And the only way to do that is by having some more new experiences. And I think the best way to do that is to let people know that you are there to be of help. I would suggest the best thing to do for right now would be to contact your parish and say, hey, you know, what do you guys say? I'm here to serve. I have time and I would like to serve in different ways. And just start volunteering for stuff. It doesn't matter whether you think you like it or it'll be meaningful for you or not. Just start doing it. And there are going to be some things that you enjoy or get more energy out of than other things. And so then you're going to want to lean more into that. But the first step is letting your pastor or whoever is in charge of the ministries at your parish know that you're available to help and that you have the time and the energy to do it.
Because one of the most fulfilling things that we can do with time that we have is to serve others. You know, you said you don't have a lot of hobbies. It's fine to explore hobbies. You know, you can look up online different groups that you know, teach a skill in your area. You might want to, you know, take a photography class, or you might want to learn Mahjong, or those are all fine. But that first step is those moments of service. But Michael, you don't have to fill every single day with it either. You know, you can say, I can volunteer 2 days a week. 3 days a week, whatever those things are, and that will allow you to have some time to sit on the couch all day. Because when one has just worked for decades, it's okay to leave ourselves a little space for rest. For all those mornings we woke up, you know, going to work, and we thought, oh, I just wish I could stay in bed today, or I wish I could relax today. We want to fulfill those, but we don't want to get stuck in that. We don't want to neglect our bodies. We don't want to neglect our ability to have social life. We want to move out of that. But do it in these little baby steps so that you can build up the momentum and see what you find is truly fulfilling, what God is really calling you to. And one of the things I'd encourage you to do is when you are doing your rosary on the couch, make the question you're asking before you do your rosary, Lord, show me what you want me to do with the gifts and talents you've given me. Show me how you want me to give you glory in this phase of my life. Direct my path, please, because I want to serve you.
But I do think that the next step in terms of getting off the couch is really just letting your pastor know that you're available to help. And then say yes, for now, to whatever comes up. And over time, you'll start to realize, well, I like serving in this way more than I like serving in that way. So then lean into those ministries. But, it's okay to be at this point and kind of not know what you're passionate about, because a lot of times work just consumes us.
Absolutely.
But being able to lean into meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue is the path to an abundant life. Actually, we talk about this in my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, which is all about discernment, and you can follow up with it after this call. But meaningfulness refers to how can I use the gifts God's given me to make a positive difference in the things around me. Intimacy refers to how can I respond to the challenges in front of me in a way that make my relationships better and stronger or deeper, or increase my relationships for that matter. And then virtue has to do with how do I face whatever I'm facing in a way that allows me to grow. And so those are the questions you want to be praying about, even as you take this initial step of reaching out to your parish to see how you could be of service, and really start there. All right, and we just have a couple minutes left, and so I just wanted to kind of start where or end where we began, and just reflecting on this idea of stress and conflict, and the reason that stress is stressful, as you were saying at the beginning of the show, Lisa, is not because the things are happening to us, but because of the way we're responding to those things. If I'm in that reactive mindset, where I'm only focusing on what's wrong, then I can never move. I'm just waiting constantly for the situation to reveal itself before I can do something about it. But if I have that more receptive mindset, I'm not thinking about what's wrong. I'm thinking about what can I make of this? And how can I use this? What's possible through God's grace? And that's a question just worth sitting with. I mean, because initially our reaction is very often is, well, I don't know. I don't know what I can make of this. I don't know what God wants me to do. And then we stop thinking about it. But the answer, that St. John Paul in his Theology of the Body, St. Paul, in Scripture, or Isaiah, rather, from our Scripture of the Day, continually bring us back to the idea that we need to not just ask God the question, but sit in the question and be comfortable with a little bit of that tension of not knowing and being unsure. Going back to what Rachel was talking about in the show, it's that curiosity that allows us to sit in that kind of discomfort and say, well, what can I make of this, even if I'm not sure right away? What does God want me to make of it? Let me take that to prayer. Let me sit with that. Let me reflect on it. And let me keep pondering it until I have an answer.
And taking it to Him is often a very different idea for us as Catholic people. A lot of us have this idea, either from the secular world or, it's how we were raised in Catholic school, that we have to figure it out and then take it to God like it was a class project and say, see, I did it. Do you approve of me now? And we never ask the teacher for the direction for the project. So we don't really know how it turned out. That's not how God works. He wants that intimate relationship with us where we take our situation to Him and say, how do you want me to handle this? What virtues do you want me to exercise? I don't know if I have them, Lord. You're going to have to give them to me. You're going to have to download them for me and give me these chances to practice them. And you're going to have to tell me and guide me through this, because I'm too human to have your perspective, Lord. So I need you to tell me what to do and walk with me through it. And that allows us to know what directions we should take those baby steps in.
So it's, you know, it's ultimately, you know, it's not about trying to say, well, I shouldn't feel this way. I shouldn't be stressed. What's wrong with me that I'm anxious? It's not that at all. It's I can feel those feelings, but bring them to God and say, all right, Lord, how do you want me to respond to this? And where do you want me to go with it? How do I use this to bring out the best in me, to try to bring out the best in others, and to glorify you by making this situation a little bit better or exercising a little more virtue? What can I do to use this instead of just avoiding it? That's the key to remaining in a place of contentment and confidence under pressure. If you are looking for ways to manage stress and conflict more effectively in your life, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Check it out, CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.